I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After he had appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who you are? Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, one day there was this mom who wanted to have some fun with her 10-year-old daughter. And so she asked the little girl that age-old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, without skipping a beat, the little girl immediately responded, "Why, the chicken, silly." Now the mother was intrigued at how her daughter could so quickly answer, and so she asked her, "Well, why do you say that the chicken came first?" And the little girl immediately answered, "Because, Mom, everyone knows God doesn't lay eggs." Now I think that little girl is onto something we all need to be reminded of this morning. And it's that we all matter, we all have purpose, And not a single one of us is a mistake, or in other words, a bad egg. Now this past Tuesday, Nikki and I had the opportunity to take two young women from our church, Courtney and Cynthia, over to Luther Seminary so they, along with a bunch of other youth from all over the area, might get a little taste of what it might like be, might like, what it might like to be like. What it might be like to be a pastor or a deacon or serve in some other capacity within the church. And while there's probably only a small chance that either of these young women might actually pursue a call into ministry, I don't think that's what really is important or what truly matters today. Now, what's important and what matters is that they hopefully walked away from this preview day at Luther Seminary feeling both affirmed in their own faith and seen for what they are. Seen as valued children of God, ready and willing to serve in God's unfolding mission of radical hospitality in whatever capacity the Spirit leads them. And we all want to be affirmed in our faith and be seen as having value, but too often we sell ourselves short, compare ourselves unfavorably to others who we think have it all, or believe that because of our past, because of what we have or have not done, we're not worthy of taking on the role to join in Christ's ministry of sharing the good news. And yet this is what you are all called on to do. So open your eyes, open your ears, and open your heart to the multiple possibilities that are constantly being offered by the Holy Spirit to share the love of God and the grace of Christ wherever you find yourself. But you've got to believe in yourself first. You've got to get past dwelling on those people who say you can't succeed. And you've got to have the trust and the hope that your voice matters. Because it does. Now, there once was a Pharisee named Saul who learned all this the hard way. You see, at first he was one of those people who hated Jesus, his followers, and everything they stood for so much he went out of his way to do everything in his power to destroy them. In fact, he even went so far as to whipping up a crowd to stone the young disciple Stephen to death, and then sought and received permission to travel to Damascus to persecute further the followers of the resurrected Christ who had fled Jerusalem. In essence, Saul was a bad guy, a broken bad egg, and was the most least likely person to be used by God to further the radical, inclusive, and welcoming ministry Christ wants us to share. But that's what he became. And so we read that as Saul was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" To which Saul responded, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Well, this exchange rocked Saul's world and everything he believed about his faith and himself. And this exchange also left Saul physically and emotionally vulnerable. Vulnerable enough to allow himself to be transformed from Saul the Pharisee to Paul the Apostle. Vulnerable enough to transform him from a persecutor to a defender of the faith. And vulnerable enough to transform him from holding tightly to a narrow worldview where God is just there for the few willing to jump through the right religious hoops, to an open-minded and loose grand worldview that has no barriers, no walls, and nothing to get in the way of anyone hearing God's call and coming to Christ. Now, this season of Easter, is all about people being transformed by Christ's resurrection. And while Saul or Paul or whatever you want to call him sure had a very remarkable transformative experience, I think too often we forget that in this story another person was transformed too. Ananias. Ananias, the disciple who Saul was first brought to and who ended up not only giving Saul back his sight, but baptizing and initially teaching him in the way of Christ. But this almost didn't take place, as when Jesus came to Ananias in a vision, he at first tried to push back on Christ's request by saying, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel." So Ananias listened to this call from Christ, and in the process was transformed from a simple follower to an active believer. An active believer who rightly understand and came to believe that the way of Christ is a way open to all people without limitation. And we all need to remember this and to do everything in our power to make sure that this is the message people not only hear, but actually experience when they come to our church. But this can be an ongoing struggle as we all carry with us our own unique personal theologies that have been built up over time through tradition and experience that have shaped the way that we believe and how we act on that belief. But I'll let you in on a little secret. There is not even two of you here this morning that agree 100% with each other when it comes to your beliefs. What you can agree on, however, is your faith in Christ Jesus as your risen Lord and Savior. What you can agree on, however, is that through grace you have been saved. And what you can agree on, however, is that you each of you have been called into the unfolding ministry that breaks free of all constraints through Christ's good news. Additionally, I would hope you would also agree that the best way to share this good news is in community. In community with others who, just like you, from time to time, feel lost, feel alienated, and feel wholly not prepared. But remember, that's just a feeling, and it's not the truth as seen through God's eyes. Because through God's eyes, baptized or not, we all have been created in God's image. And so you all matter. You all are welcome. And you all are being called. Called to share, called to care, and above all, called to love. And this call is one God is desperately just waiting for you to accept, be transformed by, and start living into at once. So get going. Do some preaching and never be ashamed by the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who has faith. Amen.